Michael Brown here. I am so glad we get to spend this time together on the Line of Fire. Sit back, enjoy the program. If it blesses you, share it with a friend. The Supreme Court has ruled 8-1 that Fred Phelps and Westboro Baptist Church have the right to bring their hate speech even to funerals with grieving family members. Is this a protection of free speech, or is this an outrage?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into The Line of Fire.
Boy, talk about a controversial decision. Talk about a difficult decision. Talk about a decision that has all kinds of implications, both for the name of Jesus, for the rights of those who are being hurt, and for the rights of followers of Jesus to be able to speak out in the future. I'll make it all clear to you in a few minutes. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church often in compromise. If you didn't hear about the ruling, first let me give you background, and then you can weigh in at 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. For those already familiar with the ruling, you can light up the phone lines now if you like. Was this a right ruling or a wrong ruling? Did the Supreme Court do the right thing or the wrong thing? Okay, here's the background. You may have heard of Reverend Fred Phelps. He was a former civil rights attorney, actually was a champion of the rights of blacks who were suffering discrimination. And amazingly, I mean, it's quite a shocker to know that this gentleman, so famous for hate speech today, was actually fighting for the rights of oppressed black citizens in America in the past. Fred Phelps and Westboro Baptist Church, small church with a lot of family members involved, a lot of them actually lawyers, famous for their hate speech through the years. In fact, in my forthcoming book, less than 2 weeks out now, A Queer Thing Happened to America, I have a whole chapter dealing with the issue of hate speech and how when people press the hate button, their intent is to silence all dissenting views. But there is such a thing as hate speech. Listen to some of the words of Reverend Fred Phelps. God hates America. Thank God for IEDs, improvised explosive devices, killing American soldiers in strange lands every day. Westboro Baptist Church rejoices every time the Lord God in his vengeance kills or maims an American soldier with an improvised explosive device. This is Fred Phelps. WBC, Westboro Baptist Church, will picket the funerals of these godless fag army American soldiers when their pieces return home. Yikes. Yeah. How about this? After the tsunami, God hates Sweden. Thank God for all dead Swedes. Unconfirmed numbers of Swedes are dead as a result of the tsunamis which ravaged Thailand and the other lush resorts on that region, and thousands more are unaccounted for, either still rotting in the tropical conditions or buried as they deserve as blanks in mass graves, donkeys in ass graves, but he uses another word there. Scarcely a family in Sweden has been untouched by the devastation. Bible preachers say, thank God for it all. I'm quoting Fred Phelps. Reggie White is in hell. Ronald Reagan is in hell. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ will not sit silently by while you maudlin haters of God try to preach this senile old fool into heaven. Despite what Dumbo George W. says, he's not in a better place unless you consider fiery torment better than dribbling his cream of wheat. Pope John Paul II, the great pedophile pope, is in hell. Westboro Baptist Church to picket the arch-heretic traitor and rebel against the great king of glory, Billy Graham. God hates Billy Graham and will ear-long cast him into hell and torment him with fire and brimstone. This is Fred Phelps. What happened was Fred Phelps and his folks protested at the funeral of an American soldier, son of Albert Snyder, Matthew Snyder. Matthew Snyder was not gay. Matthew Snyder was simply fighting in Iraq and was killed in his line of service. I say he wasn't gay, explaining that he was not targeted for that reason. He was targeted because he's part of our army, which, according to Fred Phelps, is now a, quote, fag army, and therefore we're having all these terrible judgments and destruction happening to our people. And it's good. We should rejoice because this is judgment. So Fred Phelps and his folks went to protest at the funeral of Matthew Snyder. And Albert Snyder, the father, said, "I want them to stop doing this to our military men and women. I want the judges to hear that this case is not about free speech. It's about targeted harassment." So they were found guilty. Phelps and his folks, Westboro Baptist Church, were found guilty for inflicting all types of emotional damage on the funeral, the folks at the funeral. Can you imagine? Can you imagine you're there to bury your dead? You're there to mourn? You're there to bury your own son? Come on. And these protesters are there shouting these things out and proclaiming things in the name of God that are hateful and ugly. I want to categorically say to anyone listening that does not know who Jesus is or who the real church is, that Fred Phelps represents the opposite of the spirit of Jesus, who lays down his life to help hurting people, represents the opposite of the spirit of Jesus in mocking the suffering of others, represents the opposite of the spirit of Jesus with his pronouncements that will drive people away from the gospel. And when he stands up and says, "God hates Sweden, God hates America, God hates Billy Graham, God hates Reggie White, God hates fags," he is not speaking for God. And certainly he's not speaking for me. We make that totally clear. So Phelps and his folks were found guilty, fined multiple millions of dollars. They appealed. A lower court ruled in their favor, and then it went to the Supreme Court, 8-1 decision. The court ruled today that members of the renegade Westboro Baptist Church, quoting from historian Fox News by Lee Ross, have a constitutionally protected right to protest military funerals, even though their demonstrations are widely despised and deplored. The case presented the justices with a high-profile question about the breadth of First Amendment speech and assembly protections. A majority of justices ruled that these fundamental rights outweigh the concerns of grieving family members who would rather not deal with what they say are obnoxious protesters from the Kansas church. So here's the decision from Chief Justice Roberts, representing the majority. Speech is powerful. It can stir people to action, move them to tears of both joy and sorrow, and, as it did here, inflict great pain. On the facts before us, though, he wrote, "We cannot react to that pain by punishing the speaker. As a nation, we have chosen a different course to protect even hurtful speech on public issues to ensure that we do not stifle public debate." Judge Samuel Alito, so these are both conservatives, Alito and Roberts, was the only dissent, writing that the church protests simply go too far. Quote, "Our profound national commitment to free and open debate is not a license for the vicious verbal assault that occurred in this case. In order to have a society in which public issues can be openly and vigorously debated, it is not necessary to allow the brutalization of innocent victims like petitioner. I therefore respectfully dissent." All right. Who's right here? Let's think this through on both sides. 866-34-TRUTH for you to weigh in. Or you can join the very lively discussion on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Weigh in, read the opinions, go back and forth in your thinking, state what you like. We'll talk it through and do our best to come to a place of sanity and clarity. And in the second half hour, I'm going to add some elements in that are only going to make this discussion all the more relevant as I bring you a warning from England. Trust me, you don't want to miss the warning from England. Maybe you do want to miss it, but you can't miss it. All right, let's think this through. On the one hand, let's change this. Let's say that you have Ku Klux Klan inciting hatred against African Americans, and let's say that a mob, an out-of-control racist mob, had lynched a young black man. Okay, I know we're going back decades when these kind of things would happen, but let's just say it happened again. And at the funeral, as the communities, black and white, have come together to mourn this atrocity, that KKK members come by chanting, using the N-word, saying this is good, these people belong in the dirt, they belong in the grave, they're not human. Is that speech protected? Let's say that some neo-Nazis kill a Jewish person in one of our cities here in America. Or maybe a young Jewish man is killed by Muslim terrorists in the Middle East and his body is sent back here to be buried with his family in America. And neo-Nazi protesters show up and they're screaming, "Good, too bad we don't have ovens to kill all the Jews." Would that be acceptable speech? You say, oh, I don't know, how could that be acceptable? I mean, wouldn't that incite to violence, and doesn't hate speech cross a certain line where it's no longer protected? Okay, if that's the case, what happens if the day comes when our speech is considered hate speech? Interestingly, Matthew Staber with Liberty Counsel, some of the strongest frontline Christian legal folks that we have here in America, stood with the court, felt that this was a good ruling, and Matt Staber said this: the Supreme Court clearly recognized that the bad facts of this case could lead to the restriction of legitimate free speech rights of law-abiding citizens. The First Amendment does not grant to anyone a veto right over another person's speech simply because it might be offensive. Free speech needs breathing room. I would rather tolerate a person's offensive speech than be silenced by the force of law. Supreme Court decision, right or wrong? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. All right, Supreme Court has ruled that Westboro Baptist Church has the constitutional right to bring its hate speech, things like God hates fags and thank God for American servicemen killed in battle, etc. They can bring their hate speech even to funerals. Question is, was this ruling right or wrong? If there's going to be free speech, does it have to be for everyone? Does this go too far because it brings harassment with it? If we say this is a wrong decision as Christians, that this hateful speech should be allowed, what if our speech is deemed hateful one day, as it is being deemed increasingly hateful in many circles of society? 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on the broadcast. That's 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Let me read some comments on the Facebook page. Jared says, I think it's right by the Constitution, but horribly wrong by biblical standards. Kimberly, totally wrong. This is truly hate speech, not political or religious speech. They should be arrested for this. It is harassment. Jamie, freedom of speech, but these people need to repent and follow Jesus. Jesus did not command that kind of behavior. Of course, many are weighing in on our Facebook pages and saying how wrong Westboro Baptist Church is. And of course, it's embarrassing to be associated, those that are Baptists, those that are part of a church, those that bear the name of Jesus. It's embarrassing to be associated with folks like this. What's fascinating, though, fascinating, is that no matter how gentle I will be in my reaching out to those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, no matter how carefully I will use words that I am doing my best to convey truth in a way that is mixed with grace, not an ounce of compromise. I'd rather die than compromise, but seeking to speak truth and grace at one and the same time, and then seeking to model on a personal level of reaching out to people in a truly loving way that would reflect who Jesus is. It's amazing that no matter how much you do that, you'll still have people branding you as Fred Phelps. I've been branded as Fred Phelps without the signs. Invariably, you'll see a name, Jerry Falwell's name will come up, James Dobson's name will come up, Pat Robertson's name will come up, any Christian leaders who've been known for standing for righteousness over the years. And they'll always come up when you look in gay activist sites, or frequently come up right along with Fred Phelps. So on a certain level, there is a willful blindness that no matter how we present ourselves and no matter what we say, there are people who are going to couch us as hateful and bigoted and intolerant, and look at us as if we were Fred Phelps. In fact, that's been a strategy of gay activists for some decades now, that the moment someone differs with the position of gay activism, the moment someone says, you know, I think it's best for a kid to have a mom and a dad as opposed to two dads or two moms, and, you know, I really do believe there's wisdom when the Bible says homosexual practice is sin and it's really not in people's best interest, etc., that when you say those things, that gay activist strategy is immediately that should bring to association in people's minds that you're a Nazi, that you're a member of the KKK. In fact, I experienced that here in Charlotte. We did a lecture series in 2007. If you've never watched the DVDs, I'd strongly encourage you to do so. Some of them are available free online, and some you can order through our online bookstore at AskDrBrown.org. I did a series, week-long series, on homosexuality, the church, and society. I made very clear that there would be no hate speech tolerated, no gay bashing. I made very clear that after each presentation, the mic would be open for Q&A and for people to challenge any positions I brought. I was as clear about that as I could be. And amazingly enough, or not amazingly, in fact, it wasn't surprising at all, but maybe amazingly, immediately I started getting blasted. Once the ad came out, the announcement came out in Charlotte Observer and local news media, immediately I started getting blasted as Nazi KKK. KKK is growing in Charlotte. Here's another Nazi hater, you know, et cetera. It's like, amazing. Amazing. So on the one hand, the Fred Phelps types folks bring a bad name to the gospel and in the process make it easy for people to brand us as hateful. On the other hand, we're going to get branded either way. The question is, should the courts protect freedom of speech that is offensive, that is insulting, that is derogatory, that is demeaning, that causes emotional damage, that is hurtful, that perhaps could provoke violence? And where does one draw the line? Or does the Supreme Court have to do that, as Matthew Staver said and as Chief Justice Roberts said, that it has to do that, it has to protect offensive speech and even bigoted speech and even hateful speech to protect everyone's speech? Hey, what if Muslims were leading our country? What would they consider hate speech? What if we had an elected government with predominantly Muslims? What would they consider hate speech? What if you lived in a community where there is Sharia law in your community in America, which is actually happening in some places, and you spoke against that? What if you live in Pakistan and you say anything that anyone could interpret as attacking Muhammad or the Quran? You'll be killed. You'd be killed, and the people who kill you will be doing God's service in that country. Aren't we glad that we're in America? You see, this is a little bit more difficult to navigate than you might think at first glance. Let me read a few more comments. Wes said, this is the kind of stuff that makes Christianity look like angry hatred. It is only constitutionally appropriate to protect their rights to free speech, though. Hateful speech is ignorant but not illegal. Jared, again, may this be a startling revelation as to the true state of the nation. Stephen, free speech is free speech, even if we don't like it. Remember that in certain other countries, one can't even read Bible verses that call the homosexual lifestyle sin. Regina, freedom of speech is there to protect the speech you don't like, not the speech you do. Kathy, somehow I think our forefathers would be sobbing if they knew this was happening. I suppose technically this is a proper ruling upholding free speech. It just seems that there are serious problems when someone would be heartless enough to do such a thing. I think our country is very ill. Stephen weighs in again. It is an unsavory decision, but yes, they were right because it protects my right to read God's word out loud. Jamie rightly says, yes, freedom of speech, but media will use them to portray all Christians this way. I said in the second half hour, I'm going to give you a warning from England. Okay, let me move in this direction. We are increasingly coming into a situation here in America where raising one's voice based on biblical convictions, no matter how lovingly and graciously one does that, that when you raise your voice and speak out about certain things that the Bible is very clear on, you are increasingly being branded hateful to the point that tragically, very sadly, very wrongly, last week, our president said that he will no longer defend the constitutional. This is law, constitutional right now, because of how it was passed by our elected officials. Our president has said that he will no longer defend and direct Attorney General Holder to no longer defend the Defense of Marriage Act, which tells any state you can say we only recognize marriage as the union of a male and a female, as marriage has always been. Tragically, our president crossed a very dangerous line by deciding what constitutional laws he will uphold and what not uphold. Again, when I say constitutional laws, I don't mean it's written in the original words of the Constitution, but that he must uphold what has been passed. Attorney General Holder said, look, we have to look at discrimination against people because of sexual orientation the same way we look at discrimination about skin color. Ooh, this is hitting closer to home than we might realize. All right, we come back, we'll take your calls, and I will bring you some shocking news from England. Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown here, serving as a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, 866-34-TRUTH. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. We've got some important links relative to the story we're talking about today, the Supreme Court ruling saying that Fred Phelps and the Westboro Baptist Church have the constitutional right to bring their hate speech to funerals, even inflicting emotional damage on people, because if you're going to protect the free speech of one, you've got to protect the free speech of another. A right or wrong ruling. I'm about to give you a relevant warning from England, but before I do that, let me take one phone call. James in Winston-Salem. James, boy, you had something good to say there, and I missed it, so unless it was a dial tone, we're supposed to decipher that. All right. If we lost you, James, I'll try to get back to you before the show is out. 866-34-TRUTH if you'd like to weigh in. All right. I find, of course, the Supreme Court ruling very difficult. I find it difficult because of the terrible misrepresentation of the name of Jesus and the person of Jesus by Westboro Baptist Church. Of course, God judges sin. Of course, God hates sin. Of course, God deals strongly with those who refuse to repent. And of course, Fred Phelps is not preaching the gospel when he is going to these funerals and rejoicing and thanking God that people died in tsunamis, that people died at the hands of improvised explosive devices in Iraq and Afghanistan, etc. And proclaiming God hates Billy Graham and God hates Reggie White and God hates the Pope and God hates fags and God hates America and God hates Sweden and God hates Canada. Hate seems to be the operative word with Fred Phelps. So it's grievous to me on the one hand that that is protected. On the other hand, I understand why the Supreme Court ruled the way it did. So look, for those of you, you've been hearing, been listening to me maybe for a few years, and you've been hearing regularly about my book coming out, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and I tell you about the urgency of these issues, and I tell you that this is something we can't avoid, we can't go to sleep on, we can't stick our heads in the sand and believe it's just going to pass by. I have urged Christian leaders, ministers, those who have positions of influence, speak now or forever hold your peace. And what's happened in England now is a jarring reminder of where things are going. In my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which can be pre-ordered at Amazon right now, if you go to Amazon.com and click on A Queer Thing Happened to America, you can pre-order the book. There's a whole chapter called Big Brother is Watching and He Really Is Gay. It is about the removal of freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion because of gay activism, basically saying that sexual liberties win out over religious liberties. So here is the recent ruling from England, and then we'll try to get back to our friend James from Winston-Salem. I'm reading from Christian Concern. This is a Christian legal organization in England. And the link, again, is on our website. In a landmark judgment which will have a serious impact on the future of fostering and adoption in the UK, the High Court has suggested that Christians with traditional views on sexual ethics are unsuitable as foster carers, that homosexual rights trump freedom of conscience in the UK. The judges stated that Christian beliefs on sexual ethics may be inimical, dangerous, destructive, negative to children. They implicitly upheld an Equalities and Human Rights Commission submission that children risk being infected. That's in quotes, infected. Did you hear that? That's in quotes. Can I say it again? Infected by Christian moral beliefs. So here's what happens. You have a long-term foster couple. And by the way, I'm saying this again to show how slanted discrimination is these days. This is not a Caucasian couple. This is a black couple, not sure what their ethnic origin is, in England. Eunice and Owen Johns. They have been long-term foster parents. A social worker understood from them that they were not willing to tell a child that they adopted in their home or foster care provider providing foster care in their home. They were not willing to tell the child that homosexuality was fine. This is in the privacy of their home. They were not willing to say it because of that. They were taken to court, and the High Court in England has said they are not allowed to take in any more children because they cannot affirm homosexuality. Did you hear that? They cannot take in children. The judges stated if children are placed with parents who have traditional Christian views like the Johns, quote, there may well be a conflict with the local authorities' duty to safeguard and promote the welfare of looked after children. That there's a tension between the equality provisions concerning religious discrimination and those concerning sexual orientation, yet as regards fostering, the equality provisions concerning sexual orientation should take precedence. The court ruled that a local authority can require positive attitudes to be demonstrated towards homosexuality. I have not been exaggerating, friends, when I've sounded the alarm. I have not been exaggerating about what is coming our way in America and in some ways is already here. We wake up now. No. We don't go the way of Fred Phelps. God forbid. But we wake up now to reality, or we're going to have to apologize to our kids, to our grandkids. You know, not just to our kids, to our grandkids, to our spouses, to our fellow workers, to our friends. Because we're not talking about what's coming in the next generation. We're talking about what's already here. 866-34-TRUTH to the phones. James in Winston-Salem. Glad we reconnected. What are your thoughts on all this?
Thank you, sir. Hey, you know, the preconditions for this Supreme Court decision were really two things. One, the neutrality of the Constitution, the law of the land, and two, the immorality that has, you know, talk about infected, it's infected our society. And I think what the court's opinion illustrates is that people who are Christian and moral have a duty to stand up and be counted and to pass on their beliefs, you know, and teach their children. Because if the society had not deteriorated morally to the point that it is now, you know, the outcome of this case would have been a moot point because the case would have never probably ever happened.
So, James, let me ask you this. Why do you think so many Christians in America are not willing to speak up about homosexual practice, are not willing to say same-sex marriage is wrong, are not willing to say homosexual practice is sin? Christian leaders, Christian individuals, why do you think we have backed away from this issue so dramatically?
Okay, well now, before I answer that question, I was really addressing this to the demonstrations at the gravesite.
Oh, I understand that. That I understand.
Okay.
Sure.
I just want to make sure we're on the same page, but okay, well, man, you're asking a tough question. Well, I kind of look at it as from a Calvinist point of view, you know, the predestination thing, right? And I think that from where I stand, I see that some of us are elect, and you never know who is elect. Okay, so you don't. I think there's a tendency not to want to alienate people in what is said, but. That it gets beyond that somehow when people, you know, you don't want to. I don't think ministers want to engage in hostility.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's kind of where I see it.
Got it. All right. Hey, tell you what, I'm going to jump in because we've got a break here. So here's the question, friends. James has said ministers don't want to engage in hostility. Can we lovingly, graciously stand for what is right, stand against sin, while at the same time being the exact opposite of her Fred Phelps? Is it possible? More to come right here on The Line of Fire. All right, things are heating up by the day. What a great time to be alive as a follower of Jesus. What a great time to be shining the light in the midst of ever-increasing darkness. What a great time to demonstrate who Jesus really is and who we are as God's people and what it means to be full of the Spirit. Yes, a great time to be alive. While things are shaking all around us, this is the time when Jesus can be mightily glorified through you and me, his people. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. Talking about the Supreme Court decision saying that Fred Phelps and his group have the legal right to practice their hate speech even at funerals. And as offensive as the ruling is, I do understand the reason for it. I'm going to give you some closing reflections on that, but I've also been sounding the alarm at the same time, especially based on this ruling of the High Court in England saying that a foster care couple that for years has cared for children, adopted children, provided foster care for kids, obviously with compassionate hearts for these kids, as committed Christians, the courts ruled they can't do it. Excuse me, they can't do it anymore because they cannot affirm homosexuality. Yes, this is not being made up. And when you get my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and read it, especially the second to last chapter, you'll understand, okay, this is what you've been telling us was coming. So my question is, why aren't Christians standing up and speaking out? What's holding us back? Can we speak the truth in love? Can we stand against homosexual practice by giving ourselves to the homosexual community in sacrificial love? Can we do what God laid on my heart some years ago, reach out, resist, reach out to the people with compassion, resist the activist agenda with courage? Why aren't we standing up? Is it that we don't want to be associated with someone spewing real hate speech like Fred Phelps? Is that it? Or is there something else? Have we lost our courage? Are we more concerned about pleasing people than pleasing God? Is it that we want to seem tolerant and accepting? Can I tell you, until you affirm homosexual practice, you will never be accepting enough? Can I tell you that? If you don't know it, you just learned something. All right, I got a bunch of things to say, but I want to grab at least one more call. Jen in Greensboro. All right, why is it that Christians are not standing up?
I think that both reasons that you just mentioned, I think for me, it's both. I think I'm afraid of being lumped in with the Fred Phelps, and because that is the tendency, like you said, until you affirm it, you're just considered intolerant and a bigot. And but I also think it's just that we're afraid of being persecuted. Really, I mean, that's what it boils down to. And I just had an experience in a graduate class a couple of weeks ago, and I'm a teacher, and everyone in the room but me seemed to agree that homosexuality was okay, was good, and should be, you know, affirmed in our classrooms, and I was appalled, but I didn't speak up, and I'm so mad at myself, and I feel like, you know, sometimes it takes me a few minutes away from the situation to think about what should I have said, and yes, wish I had the opportunity to go back, and I would have said, you know, not everybody agrees with that, and that's not my job as a teacher to teach those things. If we're not allowed to say that it's, you know, wrong, why should we be allowed to say that it's right? That's not even why we're there.
Hey Jen, let me ask you a couple of questions. What grades do you teach?
I teach middle school.
Middle school. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're teaching in a public school now, middle school.
Right.
And what kind of class was this in at university?
It was in a literature, children's literature class.
So in a children's literature class, and how did the subject come up?
Well, they were discussing a book called And Tango Makes Three.
Sure.
You've probably heard of that, and it's talking about how two male penguins want to hatch a baby girl penguin, and, you know, they're obviously promoting the homosexual agenda, and it was a most banned book in 2006, I think. And so the teacher was just saying how silly that was, and everybody was shaking their head and laughing like they couldn't believe it. And I was just sitting there thinking, well, I wouldn't read it to my kids as a parent. I wouldn't read it to my kids as a teacher.
Jen, yeah, just got a break coming up. How many people were in the class, would you say?
Probably 15.
15 people in the class. All right. Can you stay with me on the other side of the break? And I also want to send you A Queer Thing Happened to America as soon as it's out, and stand with you to help equip you. So stay with me. I want to talk to you on the other side of the break. Friends, I'm not exaggerating. Wake up time. Let's do what's right. And God will bless us and help others if we do. Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire today. Michael Brown here, wishing I had another hour. I got a stack of important things to get to that just couldn't get to fairly, but we've always got tomorrow. I'm not going to have time for any more calls, but I want to get back to Jen, who's a middle school teacher and is in a grad school, was in a children's literature class in which a book was put forth, Tango Makes Three, about two penguins in a New York City zoo. And it turns out, oh, they're gay penguins. And with the help of the zookeeper, they get to raise a little penguin. Now, of course, Jen, they didn't tell you the sequel to the book, which was not as widely reported, that a new female penguin moved in there and one of the guys took off with her. So he wasn't a gay penguin after all. Are you at liberty to say where you're studying in grad school, or would you rather not?
See, that's the thing. I would love to, and then I'm afraid to. I guess it can't hurt. I'm probably none of these people are listening anyway. But tell you what.
Yeah, Jen, if they were listening and you could actually get in trouble for raising something like this, I have Christian attorney friends who would jump on that in a heartbeat and would sock it to the university for discrimination.
Go ahead. Elon University.
Where is that? I'm sorry.
Elon University.
Elon, okay. And do you know how many students are in the student body there, roughly?
I do not. It's a private school. I'm not sure. I'm guessing somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,000 to 5,000.
All right. And then one more question. I've got to ask this very quickly. In middle school where you teach, are you seeing the girls flirting with bisexuality, lesbianism, playing around with those things? Are you actually seeing that at all in middle school?
Yeah, especially in the upper grades, the eighth grade. We have seen that. I teach in the sixth grade, so I don't really see a lot of it, but especially when they get closer to high school, yes, we do.
And in terms of curriculum within the school, are there any things that ever come your way that are gay slanted, pro-gay, that you are expected to teach?
No, not so much where I am, thankfully, no.
But yet you're still seeing that. And when you, with the girls getting up into eighth grade, when you see you're seeing it a lot, what does that actually mean?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
When you say that you're seeing these girls getting into eighth grade now, experimenting with bisexuality, lesbianism, this is getting more common. How common? How common would you say?
I really don't know. We've heard of a few incidents of things happening at school, but a lot of times, you know, school dances are a kind of a situation where that would happen. I don't know how, I wouldn't say super common, but it's more common than I would hope to hear.
Yeah, especially we're just talking eighth grade. Hey, Jen, I'm out of time, but thanks for alerting our listeners. And let me encourage you, walk in love, walk in gentleness, but stand up for what's right, and God will smile on your life. All right?
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. All right, look, friends, I've said over and over again, I'm not exaggerating. So let me give you my bottom line. As for the Supreme Court decision, as distasteful as it is to me, as much as I would love to see a strong national rebuke to the Westboro Baptist Church rhetoric, I do understand why the court ruled as it did. I do understand that ultimately, on a certain level, it protects my freedom of speech, even here on the radio. Unless we can show that they crossed a certain line, I don't know how we can restrict that freedom of speech. That being said, friends, fellow Christian leaders, fellow workers in the Lord, fellow believers, we have freedom of speech. Let us use it before our freedoms are taken away. Let us speak now while we have the opportunity of doing it without having to go to jail for it. But no matter how gracious and loving and kind you are, you will be hated. You will be persecuted. You will be rejected, just like Jesus, just like the apostles, just like the prophets, which means rejoice. Rejoice.